Be seated. You know, one of the great blessings of God is the blessing of heaven itself, as we were just singing a moment ago. And the way that we get there is by honoring the will of God. And sometimes that will of God conflicts with our own will. Most of the time it does. And one area where it often conflicts is being able to fulfill the words of Matthew 5 in verse 10. In the Sermon on the Mount, no one could question the profundity or perhaps the monumental nature of this great declaration of truth. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you," in verse 10. "Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for great is your reward in heaven." You know, I didn't used to believe so, but I've come to believe so, that Christians should expect their faith to be tested at times. I guess I was like a lot of folks who were disillusioned into thinking that if you're a Christian, everything is going to go right in your life and you will never, ever have problems. Everybody will always be kind and nice to you. You would never have to worry about that. And everything would just be A-okay. But I've come to learn and through the years and through the Holy Scriptures, that is just not the case at all. But we can come to expect that our faith is going to be tested. But the proof of our faith is our response to what God has asked us to do. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, Peter writes, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season," he says, "if it be that you're in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that will perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus." Now, Peter is saying that our faith ought to be so strong that we can weather the trials of life, whatever they are. But what are these trials, and what is the persecution that Jesus really alludes to here? You know, sometimes people have a distorted view of the book of Matthew 5 and verse 10. When they talk about persecution, they often talk about a lot of things. But there is a difference between being persecuted and being punished for some misdeed and actually being persecuted for righteousness' sake. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, Peter says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ," he says, "happy are you." He says, "for the Spirit and the glory of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But do not let any of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters." But then he says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf." Now, Peter makes it perfectly clear and really crystal clear that if a man is being punished for a crime or if he is being chastised because they are busybodies going about doing things they ought not do, that it is deserved. It has nothing to do at all with what Christ is saying here. It just isn't. Jesus did not mean when he spoke of persecution here as that which would arise because you are a difficult individual or that you are hard to get along with or you sometimes are objectionable in your conduct. That is not what Christ is talking about. If people respond unfavorably to you, because in reality you have brought that persecution on yourself, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are a lot of people in our world that are busybodies. They're always trying to get involved in everybody else's business and in their life and always trying to tell them what to do instead of cleaning up around their own door. And there are people who are always objectional to everything in life, and there are always those people, as the Bible speaks, or who are hard to get along with. You know, you'd like to think that as Christians, if we do the right thing, that everybody would just try to get along, but that isn't the case at all. And so if people perhaps treat you unkindly, it might be that you brought it on. And so Christ is not talking about that persecution. Jesus did not mean that persecution that he's talking about would arise because you are weak in faith And that because you're immature in your actions or that you are unwise in the conduct of your life. He's not talking about that, and there are many weak tonight simply because they've not fed upon the Word of God to grow and develop their spiritual life. These are people who really do dumb things and are amazed that it oftentimes backfires on them. If you are shocked at the effects of weak faith on your life, then you need to know. You need to know also that there is a particular blessing heading to those who are righteous, but to the unrighteous, it is not the case at all. Well, thirdly, Jesus did not mean that this persecution would arise out of fanatical religious belief or behavior. There are some people who believe that, and there are some people who act fanatical in their religion, and everybody else is wrong. Well, truthfully, we need to go back to the Bible and understand what the Word of God really teaches. I'm not talking about not standing on truth. I'm convinced that we ought to stand on truth. But I believe that sometimes we can be real objectional in our approach to trying to teach others. But then fourthly, Jesus did not mean, and this may seem a little strange and odd to you, but when Jesus says, blessed are you when you're persecuted, for great is your reward in heaven, when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, notice this, Jesus did not mean that that persecution would arise because you are always in good behavior. Now, stop and think for just a moment. Even the world usually appreciates people for doing good things for others. And I'm telling you, I've known of a lot of people that are not Christians that do a lot of good things for other people in this world, and they do, and they are to be appreciated. But these things are nothing at all, have nothing to do with what Christ had to say about persecution. Well, if that's not the case, then what did Christ really mean? What kind of persecution is the Lord actually referring to here? And I want us to look at some other statements. In the book of Matthew 5 and verse 11, again he said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven. Jesus names two reasons. Now think about this, of all the Bible, when we talk about persecution, he only mentions two things about being persecuted. One of them is for righteousness' sake. Righteousness' sake. You know, righteousness is an interesting word. Sometimes I fear that people do not understand the meaning of righteousness. People think righteousness is wrapped up in coming to church. Sometimes people think that righteousness is summed up in just praying to God every day. Or that righteousness is just going to the Bible at night and opening it up and reading your chapter and you feel that you are righteous. You see, Jesus rebuked people oftentimes who thought they were righteous. And he said to the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, listen, you are unrighteous. And he said to other people, unless your righteousness will exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, Christ had something to say about righteousness in the book of Matthew 6 and verse 33. He said that we are to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, first of all, above all else. In the Sermon on the Mount, again, you will find Christ saying, blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, the righteousness that Christ is talking about is not a righteousness of our own. It is the righteousness that comes from God when we execute his will in our life. When we are doing what God has asked us to do. And that's not just necessarily being kind and benevolent to other people. But it is actually fulfilling the righteousness of God when we keep his commandments and when we do his will. Now, he not only mentions righteousness' sake when he says, blessed are ye when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, but you will remember down in verse 11, he says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely, here it is, for my sake. When people will revile you and when people will persecute you for my sake. So there you have the two things for which people are persecuted. The kind of persecution that God's talking about. For righteousness' sake and for the sake of Almighty God. Do you know the world has no problem accepting and following a religious leader that will permit them to stay in their sins? But if, listen, they will crucify one who dares to point them to the narrow gate and the straight way that leads unto life. Let a man announce that he belongs to a religious group. People don't get upset about that. They don't. In everyday conversation, people don't get uptight about you if you say, I belong to a religious group. But when you say that you are a Christian, then people get a little antagonized about that. Listen to the liberal media and what they have to say about those who are Christians. If you don't believe what I'm saying, open your ears, turn on the television, and you'll find out what I'm saying is true. People belittle those who are Christians. People belittle those for their righteousness' sake. People belittle them because they call themselves Christians or children of God. I want you to consider some other scriptures. In the book of John 15, verse 18 through 21, Jesus said, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. He said in verse 19, if you were of the world would love your own or his own. But because you're not of the world, but because I have chosen you out of the world, he said the world will hate you, and it is true. Christ went on to say, remember the word that I said unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord. And if they have persecuted you, they will also, persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. That is, they do not know God. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, all of they that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You know, I can remember at one time in this country, and I was talking about a restoration this morning of the values that and the mores of society that we once had in this world. And I can tell you there is a far cry from what it used to be. But I believe that we can bring it back. I don't believe it has gone into oblivion and that we can't reclaim it. I believe that in America we can restore the credibility of our country and the integrity of those in Washington. I really believe that. But I'm also convinced that Christians are going to be persecuted in today's world. It does happen. But thirdly, Jesus meant the persecution that comes from following him, from putting your faith in him and having your life changed by Jesus Christ. And he does change lives. The person who lives the Beatitudes that Christ spoke about in that Sermon on the Mount will be persecuted because he or she will be different from the world. Notice what Christ said here as he talks about what we call the Beatitudes. And by the way, the word Beatitude means to be of this attitude. Happy are you, Jesus says. Joyful are you if you do what I've asked you to do. Notice he mentions the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They are rich in God, are they not? The poor in spirit will not operate out of pride or arrogance, and so will be susceptible to the power and the hunger of the world. There are a lot of power-hungry people in our world. But Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. He said, blessed are those that mourn. You stop and think about this. This is counter to what the world teaches. Blessed are those that mourn. Well, when we think about people that are mourning today, it really upsets us, and we think, well, we need to do something to keep them from crying. We need to do something to help them get over their mourning. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, what's the mourning he's talking about here? He's not talking because it was a downturn in the stock market. He's not talking about the fact that you lost your job. That's counter to what Washington's saying too, isn't it? He is not saying the mourning that he's referring to here is because you can't sell your house. But what he's talking about is those who mourn over their own sins and the sins of other people. And they do not gladly participate in them. Instead of rejoicing over someone's sin, and delighted when they fall. People who are Christians mourn because of it. They are saddened by it. Notice what Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek." These are those people who are often gentle. Sometimes they are often misunderstood, who take a lot of the world's abuse, but they are meek. Now, meekness does not mean that you're milquetoasty. The Bible refers to Moses as being the meekest man that ever lived. Moses was a great servant of God, a man of valor, a man of character, a man of integrity, the great lawgiver. But then Jesus said, "Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness." But they are after an entirely different thing, a different set of values in their behavior than those that are out there in the world. Then he mentions the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. These folks do not mix with the world to the degree that they allow the world to contaminate them and to draw them away from God. They make every effort not to be stained by the world and the ways of the world. And then he mentions the peacemakers. Blessed. Why? Stop and think about this, folks. The world teaches counter to all of this. Blessed are those that hunger after wealth, not after the righteousness of God. That's what the world says. Blessed are those that are merciful. That's what Christ says. And yet we live in a dog-eat-dog world. Look out for number one. Blessed are the peacemakers. Why, we try to make war and we delight in conflict all the time in our world. But the peacemakers are those, Christ said, who are called the children of God. These are the ones who are trying to bring about the will of God among the people of the world. And it is true. Do you realize that persecution is the proof of your faith? We hear a lot about revenge today. We hear people saying they ought to take revenge on others. Revenge is not of God. Sometimes when people are antagonized, and perhaps when people are abused and when they're hurt, then we often seek revenge. But sometimes that revenge comes back to haunt us. I read a story the other day that after about 19 years of marriage, a man decided he was going to dump his wife for a younger woman. The house was in his name, and he wanted to remain there with his new love. So he asked the wife to move out, and then he would buy her another place. The wife agreed to this, but asked that she be given 3 days on her own, where she could pack up her own things and get ready to leave. Well, while he was gone, the first day she lovingly put her personal belongings into her boxes and into her crates and even into her suitcases. And on the second day, she had the movers come and collect her things. On the third day, she sat down for the last time at their candle-lit dining table. Soft music was playing in the background, and she feasted on a pound of shrimp and a bottle of wine. And when she had finished, she went to each room and deposited the few remaining shrimp shells into the hollow of the curtain rods. She then cleaned up the kitchen, and then she left. The husband came back with his new found girl, and all was bliss for the first few days. Then it started, but surely clueless. The man could not explain why the place smelled so bad. They tried everything in the world, cleaned, mopped, aired the place out. The vents were checked for dead rodents. Carpets were steam cleaned. Air fresheners were hung everywhere in the house. Exterminators were brought in. The carpets were replaced, and on it went. Finally, they could take it no longer and decided to move. The moving company arrived and did a very professional packing job, taking everything to their new home, including the curtain rods. What you do in terms of seeking revenge will come back to you. It will. There was a woman one time who had a 3-year-old son who opened his birthday gift from his grandmother. He discovered a water pistol. He squealed with delight and headed to the nearest sink. You can almost see this. The mother said she was not so pleased. She turned to her mother and she said, "I am surprised at you. Don't you remember how we used to drive you nuts and crazy with those water guns?" And the mom smiled and then replied, "I remember." When you are meditating on revenge, the devil is meditating on a new recruit. He is. The devil is searching out those who will follow him and leading them away from Christ. And someone has well said that revenge is the act of passion, but vengeance is the act of justice. Blessed are you when you are persecuted and when men speak all evil against you falsely for my name's sake, for righteousness and for the namesake of Almighty God. Christians are persecuted today. I know a lot of folks that would say, "Well, you know, Christians aren't persecuted today." They are. They're often maligned. They're joked about. They're laughed at. When a person says he doesn't believe in abortion, there are some people that stand in awe and say, "Can you believe this idiot?" When someone stands up and says, "I don't believe in same-sex marriage, I believe in homosexuality as an acceptable and an alternate lifestyle," then the world stands back and says, "Can you believe that? They're still living in the dark ages." When someone says he believes in God, he is often maligned and abused and ridiculed for his faith in God. And little do they know, the one who brought this country into existence can take it out just as quickly. He can. It's not a problem for me to be reviled for righteousness' sake or the name of Jesus. Doesn't bother me in the least. Because I've come to expect it. And so what I'm saying to you tonight is don't allow it to shake your faith. For when people revile you and when they speak evil of you and when they persecute you, whether it is physically, whether it is verbiage, hey, you're a child of God. Act like one. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, then perhaps it's going to be difficult for you to act like a child of God if you're not one. But if you believe in Jesus as God's Son and you're willing to surrender your life to Him, to give it over to Jesus and maybe even face the persecution, and I know that's not a very pleasing thought sometimes to a lot of folks to say, "Well, if I become a Christian, I'm going to be persecuted." Listen to what Christ said. "Blessed are you when men shall revile and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." Listen, why? Because great is your reward in heaven. Heaven will surely be worth it all, whatever we have to face in this world. Listen, that's the most important thing in all of this world. It's not a better economy. It really isn't. But it's a better home. And it's a home that will never decrease in its value. It is a home that no one will ever foreclose on. It is a home that you didn't even pay for. It was a home that God gave you. He gave you the deed to it, if you're a Christian. But if you're not a Christian, no home, no heaven. But if you believe tonight with all of your heart that Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to turn away from your sin and you're willing to follow our Master and our Lord, by confessing His name before men and by being baptized for the remission of your sin, you can stand freely forgiven and lay claim to the wonderful promises of God, which are far better than anything this world has to offer, folks. For the promises of God will never fail you. They won't. You won't ever have to worry about whether what Christ said will come true. You won't ever have to worry about, can Jesus really do what He said He can do? Now, we have a lot of promises floating around out in our world today. But Jesus is true to His promise. And we give you the opportunity tonight to respond to His great love and to claim those wonderful promises while we stand and while we sing.